familiar passage, but so valuable for us. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And now I want us to begin in the short, brief time of our meditation to consider again the blood of Christ. Last month, when we met for our Lord's Supper service, we considered what God thought of the blood of Christ. What God thought of the blood of Christ. This afternoon, I'd like us to look at some ways in which God in his word proclaims the value of that blood. In particular, the value of that blood for you and I as sinners. It is the blood of Christ that is the price which God has given for his people. The blood of Christ was the price for his church. It is a ransom that has been but has no comparison at all with the value that it has, which is so desperately needed on our part. God considers the blood of Christ so precious so as to accept it as sufficient for our rescue. Now, it is a large company, a multitude that no man can number, that was to be ransomed. The Apostle John says it this way in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. A great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Can you imagine the value of the price of our sins and that great multitude in our behalf? Now, these are the saved ones, whose sins are like the sand of the sea or the leaves of the forest, whose weight is great, their sins of being great in weight. The ransom that was needed was found in the blood of Christ, and his blood was considered sufficient for that payment. The righteousness of God could ask for no more. So sufficient was that blood. God was satisfied with that price. Now let's look at some of the ways in which God's word declares to us the value of that blood. Number one, and there are five I'm going to look at. First of all, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he considers it sufficient to pay all the legal demands of the law in full. The curse of disobedience to the law of God is no longer inevitable and necessary because God is now at liberty to remove the curse completely. That's the value of that blood for us. Listen to what his word says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, accursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. All that demands by God's law that each of us must stand account to has been accomplished when the blood of Christ was shed. So great is the value of his blood that it can transmit a curse into a blessing, a righteous curse into a righteous blessing. Such is the value of the blood of Christ. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he considers it sufficient to pay for all the legal demands of the law in full. Second, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he throws open the door, the way in which we can enter into the holiest of holies, into the very presence of God. It was the blood of Christ that enables us. Listen to what Hebrews says. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, God has opened up the door. He's given to us the privilege to come into his presence. It is the blood that has opened up this way. The blood has unlocked the gate. Matthew records it in his written epistle, or written letter. He says this: the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that occurred at the very moment when the Lord Jesus died and has shed his blood for us. We now have the privilege to enter into the presence of God. When we come into this building on Wednesday night as a congregation to pray, and as we stand up and pray, we're praying to a holy God, which we do not have the right to come to except by the blood of Christ. He has opened that way. It is the blood of Christ which opens the way, which would otherwise have been death to any sinner who tried to enter in. That's how holy God is. But that's how valuable the blood of Christ is to us. But the blood of Christ has now become then, therefore, the very way of life. The beginning of the living way, the only way of life, the only secure way for a man to enter into the presence of God, the only secure way for a fallen man or woman to be acceptable and to be pleasing to God. It's only because of the blood of Christ. Sometimes we get to thinking that it's because I'm willing to come, and therefore I'm willing to come, God will accept me. No, he couldn't, because we're sinners. But because of the blood of Christ, we can, as we come in his name. So now it is safe for the sinner to enter into the holiest of holies, into the very presence of God. It's pleasing to God for us to enter there. I think some of you remember the construction of the tabernacle, that there was the holy place and then there was the most holy place. And the most holy place could only be entered into by the high priest once a year. And if he didn't fulfill his responsibility exactly according to God wanted him to do, then he would die. That's why they had bells on his robes. And the bells stopped, they had to get him out. I think there was a rope tied around him to pull him out. Because it was such a holy place. But you and I, because of the blood of Christ, have the privilege to enter into the very holy of holies. I wonder sometimes when we think about entering into heaven, the glories that are there, see the wonder of who he is, the majesty. I mean, we read about it, we hear about it, and God's Spirit enlightens us to some extent. But what will it be like when we stand there? It is only because of the blood of Christ that we can get there. And we will get there as we are under the blood. You see, the presence of God is not defiled by the sinner's entrance into the presence of God now, because the blood of Christ has opened the way. The Christian does not need to be afraid to shrink back, because the blood has opened up the way. He gives us the liberty and the boldness to enter into his presence. That's the value of the blood of Christ. Christ's death removes the fear of a guilty conscience which would keep him back. Why do we not stand before God in prayer? Is it because we just don't have the words to say, don't know if we can say it the right way, or is it because we actually have a fear to come before the presence of God? Well, because we are under the blood of Christ, and because of the value of the blood of Christ for us, we can enter with confidence. With confidence, because of his blood. And the blood of Christ enables us, as sinners, now to come, as the scripture says in Hebrews 10, with a true heart and in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he throws open the door for us to enter into the holies of holies and to enter into his very presence. That's the value of the blood of Christ. Third, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that it, the blood, alone, without one particle of addition from anything else, he can forgive, save, justify even the chief of sinners. Only, completely, the blood of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." Colossians records, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. By him he reconciled all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It is through the means of Christ's blood that God keeps our conscience clean and unburdened, so that though our sins may be deepened as far as our understanding of them, yet our sense of guilt is no longer pressed on us as it once was before. Now that's for our benefit. You see, if God's blood, or Christ's blood, has finished the payment that is necessary and allows us to come into his presence, we do not have to have a guilty conscience because of the blood of Christ. It is by keeping our eye fixed upon the precious blood and he keeps our soul in perfect peace. Do we struggle with having peace with God? Look at the blood, because that's the means since we have peace with God. It's because he shows us how that the blood proclaims his wrath to have already been exhausted on another person, that is the Lord Jesus, and that our condemnation has paid away. I don't know about you, but I think probably some of us face the reality of how can I even consider having any peace and standing with God. We know our hearts. We have a sense of the awesome greatness of God. But because of the blood of Christ, we can have peace with God. And it is our focus upon that blood that warrants our having peace with God. And so when we find ourselves struggling with having peace with God, look at the blood. That's the reason we can have peace with God. And this is how he carries us from day to day. Day after day, he presents us faultless in the presence of his glory because of the blood that has opened up the way. Jude tells us, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We can have joy in the midst of our consciousness of sin because the blood has washed away our sins. God proclaims the value of his blood on account of the fact that it alone, without one particle of addition from anything else, he can forgive, save, justify even the chief of sinners. Fourth, we're looking at the ways in which God has proclaimed to us the value of the blood of Christ. Fourth, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he can come in and abide in our souls. He dwells within our souls as his chosen dwelling place, and it's because of the blood of Christ. Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God himself, the presence of the Spirit, dwells within the hearts of the believer in Christ because of the blood of Christ. Jesus said, I will pray the Father to his disciples. I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. God the Holy Spirit dwells within the hearts of believers, in the souls of believers, because of the blood of Christ. That's the basis for it. It is the sprinkling of the blood in the soul that makes our souls fit for being the tabernacle or the dwelling place of the Holy One himself. And that takes place as soon as we take God's word as the truth. It is the knowledge of the blood through the means of faith that makes the sinner feel safe and happy. It's the knowledge of the blood that gives to us the warrant and the enablement to feel peace, at peace and have safety in the presence of God. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he can come in and abide in our souls. He dwells in our souls as his holy temple. Fifth, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that he makes it answer to the various doubts and questions with which self and Satan will arise in our souls, whether it's coming to God or whether it's after we have come to God. It's the blood that answers those questions. For instance, let me just say this. When we stand in God's presence or we are meditating upon our own heart's condition and we think of all the past sins we've committed, and by God's grace, if that's brought to our hearts and to our minds, we feel tremendous guilt. God says, look at the blood. When there's time when your own personal worthiness is at its lowest ebb, actually darkened your soul. He says, behold the blood. It is the blood of Christ that fully makes up for all of our unworthiness to stand in His presence. It's the blood. When sin still persists in our life today and we find ourselves grieved, our hearts are burdened because, again, that thought came to my mind and that temptation was so vivid and so real, and we feel our hearts are burdened and held down. Again, He says, behold the blood. Behold the blood. That's the reason for us to have peace with God. It's because of the blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when that sin weighs heavy upon you, look to the blood. That's the only way. You want peace, and sometimes we think, if I just bear with it long enough and consistently doing the things that I should do, eventually it'll... No, it will not pass away. It'll not deal with it. It's only the blood. We have a tendency to think, you know, just give me a little time and the burden will be gone. No, the burden is gone when we look at the blood. That's where our hope needs to be. No amount of defilement of sin can dilute the effect of that blood, because the blood of Christ makes us free from the pollution of sin. It is in the blood. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that He considers it sufficient to pay all the legal demands that the law has in full. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that He throws open the door and allows us to enter into His very presence, the holies of holies. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that it alone, without one particle of addition from anything else, He can forgive, save, justify even the chief of sinners. God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that He can come in and abide in our souls. He dwells within us. Fifth, God proclaims the value of Christ's blood on account of the fact that He makes it answer the various doubts and questions which our own selves or Satan himself would raise up in our souls. The value of the blood of Christ. Now, how can we use this today as we have before us the remembrance of Christ and His shed blood? I think it would be good if we would fully understand this. Fully understand this. Because I think if we would look at it and examine it, we would see how far we are behind in our appreciation of the blood of Christ. Who is there among us who possesses, as we ought, an adequate knowledge of or a proper sense of the value of this infinitely precious blood? Who? Now, we use words to express its value. That's what I've done. Express the value with words, but beyond the words, often, so often, we are profoundly in the dark. And it may be even now, as these words have been expounded, God's word comes and says this. We still might be someone in the dark. We don't find the value there. We don't accept the truths and the facts that God has declared to us. Now, most men, and maybe some here, imagine that they know its value sufficiently already. You don't need to know any more. But all you need to do is to not have a higher sense of the value of the blood. But what you think is you have to have a deeper impression within you about the knowledge that you now possess. I want to challenge that. Sometimes we come here in a week or month after month and we consider the blood and we think of something of the value that's there. But all we really need, we think, I need a deeper impression. I need a greater feeling. I need to be moved. That's what's important. But is that the truth? Is that the problem? Is that what we really need? I don't think so. Let me just challenge you with this. Whatever we may now possess that we have in thinking of the knowledge of the value of the blood, we must know this, that it is just this, that it is in our sense of the value of the blood that we are the most deficient. Now, it may be hard for you to understand this or accept this, but let me say why it's true. I think the root of the problem is here. Instead of taking for granted our sense of the value of the blood as correct, as sufficient, that's all I need to know, that all I need is a work within myself into having a better frame of mind, I think we need to look something far deeper. I think we need to come to this kind of a question. Do I have at this moment any real or right sense of the value of this blood at all? Does it affect my life? Does it affect my concerns? Does it affect the difficulties that I face? The questions and the doubts that arise within my own heart? Does it affect it? You see, if I have the proper discernment of the blood, if I know its value, then why do I have any questions or doubts? It's because we don't see the value. We don't apply the value of the blood of Christ. And precisely what we ought to do when we face those difficulties and face these concerns, we must look at the facts that God has declared in His Word. It's not a doubt. It's not a question. It's not a matter of feelings. Isn't it true that the doubts that arise are really an unambiguous evidence that I am at fault in my sense of the value of the blood? We need to see its value and its practical application in our living. If it is true, then the remedy needs to be applied to the very seat of the problem. And that is, we need to turn our eyes to the blood and to the various ways in which God has proclaimed its valuable to us, this inestimable value. We need to look specifically at each one of these ways in which God has opened up the proclamation of the value of the blood of Christ to us. They're from Him, after all. He's the one that caused the blood to be shed. And there's no better way of removing our doubts, even perhaps forever, than by bringing fully and deliberately before us the definite facts which God has so clearly proclaimed to us. I remember a couple of messages ago, maybe it's 2 weeks ago, Pastor Smith had brought to us the importance of the facts of the gospel. We don't live on feelings and movements. We live on the basis of what God's Word has declared to us. And that's how we need to appropriate God's Word to us when we face the difficulties and the conflicts of our own spiritual life. We must never stop looking at the facts. I think still we have we've had tremendous messages that have come from this pulpit on the value of the gospel and the blood of Christ and all that's contained in the gospel. We hear it, but a tendency is to minimize it. And maybe even use the phrases without having any benefit from the truths and the facts that are declared to us. We must never stop looking at these facts. When our spirit is down and Satan seems to whisper in our minds our questions, whether you're even a Christian or whether the truth of the gospel is real, we must look at the facts that are proclaimed by God's Word as the basis to answer those questions. We must keep returning continually to the same facts. Aren't we in a very real sense reminded of that? We have a continual reminder of the blood of Christ before us monthly. Why? Because it is in the gospel, it's in the blood of Christ, it's the value of that blood that is to be enriched and encourage and strengthen us as believers. Behold, the blood of Christ is so vital and important. And when we look at these basic biblical facts that are declared to us by God, the Spirit will open our eyes and brighten our sight, and we'll begin to have an adequate understanding of what a great blessing we have in the shed blood of Christ for our sins, the infinite value of that divine blood. A clear sight of that which God has proclaimed in His Word is enough to clear away the guilty conscience. It's a nice way if I could say to you in some words, don't worry about your sins, your conscience can be cleared. Wouldn't do any good. But God can say that when He says the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. We come to the blood. Again, remind ourselves of the value which God has said there. And we had in our open scripture reading, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That death angel in judgment came down, but it was the blood of the sacrificial lamb, all typed to the real blood of the Lord Jesus, the real death of our Savior in our place. I don't know if you have the circumstances in your life where you find great peace and calm. It's this way with me. If I'm lying in bed and can hear the raindrops on the roof, it just gives you a sense of calm, peaceness there. Some of you may not, and that's not all right. That's all right. Or when you get up early in the morning, you look up to the east and you see the beautiful sunrise that begins to come up above the earth. There's a sense of, wow. Or maybe it's the other end of the day in the west. Is that the West? You look at see the sunset, and if you come to church on Wednesday night at a certain time of the year, you'll see the beauty of the colors. And I understand a picture was taken last night of the sunset. Beautiful, fiery red. Beautiful calmness that comes from you. If you want to have peace with God, peace in your conscience, it's because your hope is based not on what you see here, not what you feel, but on the fact of the blood of Christ and the value that has for our sins. May God help us to see, as we think again, of our great Savior and His shedding of His blood. Let's pray. Our Father, You have proclaimed to us in Your Word that the value of Christ's blood is in the fact that You consider it sufficient to pay for all the legal demands that Your law requires in full. You have taught us that the curse against us for our disobedience to Your law is no longer there, and that because of the blood of Christ, we have removed that curse completely. Our Father, You have proclaimed to us in Your Word that the value of Christ's blood is in the fact that You now have opened up the way into Your very presence, into the holiest of holies. That we as Your children do not need to shrink back from coming to You, but can boldly come into Your presence because You have delivered us from the fear of a guilty conscience. Our Father, You have proclaimed to us in Your Word that the value of Christ's blood is in the fact that because of that, yet there is not one addition from anything else that can give us forgiveness and salvation and justification as sinners. Our Father, You have proclaimed to us in Your Word that the value of Christ's blood is in the fact that You do come in and abide in our soul. Our Father, You have proclaimed to us in Your Word that the value of Christ's blood is in the fact that it is the answer to the various questions and doubts that would arise in our soul or that Satan himself would seek to bring before our attention. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, we thank You from the depths of our being for Your gracious, wondrous grace and for Your love in bearing our sins in Your own body on the tree. We pray that Your cross, that by Your cross, you would crucify every sin. We pray that You would make it the ground of all of our comfort. We pray that You would make it the life of all our duties. We pray that You would make of it the sum of all of Your gospel promises. We pray that You would make it the comfort of all of our afflictions. We pray that You would make it the confidence for our future. We pray that You would make it the very essence of our communion with You. We pray that it would so stir our hearts that it would give us that rest without rest, the rest of ceaseless praise. We pray that we would not dally with the world and its allurements, that we would walk with You, that we would listen to Your voice and Your coming from Your Word, that we would be clothed with Your grace, that we would be known with Your righteousness. Our Lord, You have taught us that Christ has all the fullness that is necessary for us as Your people. You have taught us that in the shedding of Your blood on the cross, we have the complete fulfillment of the redemption that we so desperately need. You have taught us here that because of Your shed blood, we have the treasures of grace that we are so desperately in need of. We pray that we would gain strength and joy, and that we would reveal, because of Your shed blood, that grace in our lives. Our Father, as we remember Christ's death this afternoon, feed our souls with these facts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.